Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Sacred Neural Notices meeting on the 5th of December. On the call today, we have James Bodell, Michael Connor, Michaela Nalen, Tatiana Klonsova. From staff, we have Marika Turning, Barry Cobb, Glenda Saint-Giry, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. And we have an apology from Paul Diaz. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Natalie. So this is Marika Konings from ICANN staff, and if you're happy with that, I'll start off this meeting. The first item we have on the agenda, we just did the roll call, is a reminder that everyone is required to submit statements of interest as I think Glenn will have sent you the appropriate link for that. I think for this group, we almost have everyone. Everyone already has a statement of interest, but some of you actually have an old version. And I think the channel's on the call. If you can have a look at the email that Glenn sent out earlier, and click that link, and please submit an updated version of that. And I'll reach out to the others that either haven't submitted a statement of interest or also have still an old version on file. As a number two on the agenda, I had put introductions of drafting team members, but I think we actually all know each other quite well. I don't know if people still would like to do a little tour and then have everyone introduce themselves, or whether we all feel comfortable with each other and if we've seen each other before in previous working group settings. Michaela, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to actually start off by saying that I've converted to being a socialist. I'm no longer a capitalist.
Okay, noted. Mikey?
This is Mikey. I have a suggestion. Why don't we each pick somebody else to introduce?
Well?
Do we have to go through this seriously?
Sorry.
You're not going to get anything productive or constructive out of us.
Hello?
I will agree to that only if we also do impersonations or impressions.
This is Ken Stubbs joining.
Hey,
hi, Ken. Welcome
to the gang.
Thank you.
We just started the call, and we're actually on number two, introductions of drafting team members. And I noted basically, I think, as everyone here on the call already knows each other, there might not be a need for introductions. But I don't know if you as new to this working group or drafting team would like everyone to briefly introduce themselves, or you're comfortable with all the names that you see listed here as members.
Marika, I don't think Ken is actually on the Adobe.
Okay, so Ken, we have on the call today Mikey O'Connor. Ken, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes. So today we have on the call Mikey O'Connor, James Liddell, Michaela Nalon, Tatiana Kramsova, and yourself, in addition to staff.
Okay.
You would like people to introduce themselves, or you're familiar with everyone that I just mentioned?
I'm familiar with everyone.
Okay, good. Mikey, you still have your hand up? Is that an old hand, or?
Oh, that's an old hand, and I've wandered away from my computer, so it'll stay up.
Okay. I can take it down.
That's a really old hand, by the way. Not just an old hand.
Now, again.
Elderly hand is what it is.
Kettle, meat,
yes.
Pot.
69 years speaking, so.
We just refer to each other. Refer to each other as more mature and experienced.
Geezer is the word that I tend to use.
Yes, but that's okay for you to use it. I can't use it, but that would be considered ageist.
Mm-hmm. Now you can use old fart if you want. There's no problem with that.
I'll answer to that too.
Old fogey, will that work for you?
You can say it in Gaelic if you'd like to. That'd be interesting.
Okay, on that note, let's move on to item three, selection of drafting team chair. Even though we have a small group, I think it might be helpful if someone puts themselves forward to take the leadership of this group and run the meetings. enough taking you through the first three items, but I would very much welcome if someone else would be willing to step in. So this is a call for volunteers. Not everyone at the same time. Yes, James.
Yes, just to be clear, I'm not volunteering to chair, but I do have a question. Do we have any anticipation of a work plan or how long we think this effort will last? I imagine it's not a PDP, so we're not looking at a one year to 18-month commitment. So I just wanted to know, that might help folks encourage others to jump in and want to chair. Right.
Yeah, so this is Rick. That's correct. I think if looking at the next item where we look at the task for this working team, it's very concrete. It's really to prepare a request. And I'm hoping as well that indeed that would be a short time effort, and hopefully a lot of work we might be able to do that on the mailing list instead of meeting weekly calls or further the discussions like that. So, well, like any effort, we always think it's very short-lived and it can always take more time as new issues arise that might require further research or examination. So hard to predict, but I'm hoping that indeed it won't require too much work. Michaela?
How much time are you talking about, ballpark? I mean, I know that you can't predict everything, Marika, because I know you are Super Marika, but you're not all-seeing and all-knowing just yet. But ballpark, what would you say? Are we talking finished by Costa Rica or what?
I would definitely hope that we're done by that. Because, of course, we're looking as well at the second part. So I think the first part for the drafting team is prepare the request and ask the right question. Then that needs to be passed on to the registrar stakeholder group. And that might take more time because I guess they need to gather data or information that it might require them reaching out to their members. So that second part might take longer. And then when that information comes back, maybe the drafting team will need to do some, writing up or wrapping that up in a way that it's understandable for the council, to look at that. But, I definitely hope that we're near completion by Costa Rica.
Yeah, thanks.
And I see in the meantime that Mikey has volunteered. Any objections to Mikey taking on the chair role for this group? We'll also put this out on the mailing list for those that are not on the meeting and can confirm that at the next call or by email if required.
This is Ken. I'm fine with that.
Thanks, Ken. So, Mikey, do you want to take over here or do you want me to continue to going through the items for now and you take on the next steps, or what do you prefer?
I think... Why don't you carry on, Marika? I think one thing that I might do is take some notes, and maybe at the very end, I'll just flip that up on the screen and share what I've got,
okay,
and then take it from there. But either way is fine with me. If you prefer me to run the meeting so that you can concentrate on the presentations that you've got to do, that's fine as well.
Okay, I can run through the next two items, and maybe then you can take it over for six and seven.
Okay.
I think that's more working group discussion. So everyone's fine with that, then we move into the next item. The next two items are really more intended to make sure that everyone is familiar with the task of the drafting team is, and also to provide you with the background to the resolution that was passed by the council creating this this group. So you'll see on the screen now the resolution that was adopted by the council, I think, in October of this year, which addressed a number of the registration of use policies working group recommendations that were still outstanding. In relation to this item highlighted and bold, basically the council said that the council determines that additional information is needed from the registrar stakeholder group with regard to the conditional fake renewal notices recommendation number 2. Before an issue report should be requested of staff. The GNSO Council hereby requests that the Registrar Stakeholder Group provide further information and data on the nature and scope of the issue of fake renewal notices to help inform the GNSO Council's and its rep working group's deliberations on whether an issue report should be requested. A small group of volunteers consisting of registrar representatives and others interested, including former REP working group members, should be formed to prepare such a request, work with the registrar stakeholder group to obtain the information requested, and report back to the GNSO Council accordingly. So maybe we can take item 4 and 5 together, because I think that will help the understanding of the task, because number 5, basically, my time would be just to take you historically through the discussion on this item, and, you know, that will hopefully explain where, you know, the council ended up with requesting this, assigning this task to this drafting team. So if you're happy with that, I'll just move into the next item straight away and just pull up the relevant document there. So basically, the Registration of Use Policies Working Group was tasked by the GNSO Council to identify which issues, if any, would be suitable for policy development in the context of registration of use. So one of the items that they discussed was the issue of fake renewal notices. So they did already some work on that. They provided they defined the issue and described it. They provided some background information, what they saw as ICANN's role in this. And as a result, they actually recommended a two-step approach, where the first step would be for the GNSO Council to request further information from ICANN's contractual compliance department to see whether possible enforcement action was being taken, including investigation of misuse of WHOIS data. And then there was a conditional recommendation that basically said if, you know, the compliance department would see no ability to enforce or act against fake renewal notices abuse, then the working group recommended that the GNSO Council would initiate a policy development process by requesting an issue report to further investigate this abuse. So as a result of that work, the GNSO Council requested ICANN compliance to provide feedback on the issue. And I circulated this before, but it's also up on the screen in Adobe Connect. It's basically the notice or the letter that ICANN compliance sent to the GNSO Council in that response. In that regard, you'll see it actually addresses two issues, because there were two questions that were addressed, but we're only looking at the first one. And to, you know, really say very shortly, they basically said, like, you know, ICANN compliance can only enforce if there's something being violated that is part of the RAA, or if an ICANN-accredited registrar is directly or indirectly responsible for sending such renewal notices. And they basically highlighted that they normally, you know, investigate on a case-by-case basis, but that there is not a policy in place at the moment, there's nothing really much they can do. So based on that feedback then, the GNSO Council continued a discussion, and for that, I actually send you the transcript of that discussion that was held in Singapore, and several of you participated actively in that discussion. The pages of relevance are pages 4 to 29. And I think from the discussion, I think both James and Michaela were taking an active role in that debate. I think it became clear that some further information gathering would need to be done to really understand the scope of the issue and also be able to determine whether this would actually be an issue that is suitable for policy development. So as a result of that, we come, I think, to the task today. The GNSO Council basically resolved that a small group of volunteers should be formed to try to flesh out these issues and ask the right questions and try to work with the registrar stakeholder group to see if more data and information could be obtained from there. And based on feedback received, from the drafting team, the GNSO Council is expected to reconsider again whether an issue report should be requested or not. So I think that is where we are today. So I don't know if there are any questions on the background to this issue or the task that has been assigned to this working group, the drafting team. Sorry. If not, Mikey, can I maybe hand it to you then for item 6, proposed approach, next steps?
Thanks, Marika. Can you do me a favor, Marika, and make me a host or a presenter on the working group? Because I've started taking notes, and I think the easiest thing to do is just share my screen as we carry on.
Are we going to get atoms and molecules?
Not one. Not a single atom or molecule. I'm on to a new toy, Ken. You'll be wanting to join us in the Adobe room in general on these calls, because I go crazy with Adobe, and a lot of what's going to be going on is not going to make much sense without without being able to see your screen.
I will. I'm in the car right now, so.
Yeah, no worries.
But I will be in the future.
Marika, I may need to get promoted one more notch because I can't. Oh, there we go. Never mind. Now I can't.
Yeah, you're okay? I can otherwise make you host as well. Okay.
You now have Emperor rights, Michael.
Yeah, I now have godlike powers, which is what I really covet, is godlike powers in general. Here comes my screen. Back. I'll make it bigger in a minute. Okay, so here's the... Oops, that's not it. Sorry to flash your screen like that. There, that's what we want. So let me start a new thing called Approach. See, up here, we've kind of got the outlines of that already. Let me just build on that. Seems to me that the big deal is this frame request, you know, it starts basically here. We've got a frame of request and questions to the registries, and then it sounds like, Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it in scope for us to help the registries obtain and format that information after the request goes to them? So that in addition to basically
it's
writing...
It's actually registrars. It's not the registries, it's the registrars.
Oh.
I think the charter says, you know, work with, so I think it depends more on, you know, whether the registrars welcome that or not.
I guess the question is whether the collection and analysis, the collection and analysis of that information is in scope for us, or just framing the framework that the registrars use is in our scope. Give us a reading on that, Marika.
I mean, the resolution says report back. So I'm assuming, or I mean, it might be something you want to clarify with the council when the time comes, assuming the council would like to see as well some kind of recommendation from this group on, you know, what the data means or what can be deducted from that. That would be my assumption.
Mikey?
Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't you frame some of these questions that you're kicking around here, shoot an email off to the registrar, I don't remember who replaced Mason, but you may be able to get a response from the registrar, execcom, and you don't have to go through all of this time delay waiting for council meetings or something like that, because I think basically you've been empowered to deal with the registrar constituency to some extent, and maybe we can save this. And if necessary, we can always prepare a status report for a council meeting to send it off to the council. But I hate to have to wait while council deliberates over something significant in terms of our process.
I wasn't thinking of going to the council. Actually, we've got a couple of pretty good representative registrars on the call. McKaylee's jumped into the queue. Go ahead, McKaylee.
Just to clarify for Ken, the new chair of the registrar stakeholder group is Gray Chinoweth, just so you're aware. Gray's with Dyn Inc., dyn.com. So that's the useful. And if if Mikey needs his contact details, either myself or Marika should have them. Well, I have them, definitely. I don't know if Marika does or not. James does. He's a nice lad.
I got a feeling Mikey has probably, too, because I think Gray was on the VI working group,
yeah,
or at least worked a lot there.
Yeah. So I'm starting to stick little chunks of stuff into our report. Clearly, there's a series of questions that goes to the registrars. Then the registrars answer them and collect some data. McKaylee, James, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be greeted with great angst, or do you think that they'll just jump right in and we can sort of wait around for a little while and get some data and pull it? Where do you think they're at this point?
Mikey?
Go ahead, McKaylee.
Well, James has got his hand up now.
When
it comes to fake renewal notices, I mean, I would have a certain amount of data as a registrar because I'm aware of it, because people complain to our customer service staff about it, and also because I've actually been instructing my staff to collect any of the ones that are sent to our offices. However, in many respects, I would suspect that non-registrar stakeholders might have a better idea of the number of problems, well, sorry, the volume of these fake renewal notices, because they're probably being sent them or being receiving complaints. That's just my own view. I mean, I don't know what James is going to say. He's probably going to go off and contradict me now, but anyway, I'll leave him be.
Well, one of the things we might want to think about, you know, this is drafting team pre-PDP. We might think about this as sort of a very fast tour of the top level of the data, and then if there's fire underneath the smoke, then during the PDP, maybe we could go out to the non-registrars as well. That's another way to finesse that. James, go ahead.
Hi, Mikey. Thanks. Yeah, you know, in the past, we're pretty reluctant to share specific data on a lot of topics. I don't know that this would be one of them. I think that we can explain, you know, why we feel that most of the noise around this issue is probably coming from just a few entities and what we do to prevent them access to our system. Possibly what we could do is at least give you some indication, some sanitized indication of what this means for us in terms of customer service and transfer reversals and things like that. So, I think that we would want to help. I know that we are not in favor of this practice, but we want to make sure that in doing the right thing by stopping this issue, that ICANN does not inadvertently step on our ability to produce legitimate marketing efforts, conduct our business, you know, without one hand tied behind our back. So that's kind of where we're coming from. I think we want to help. I think that any data we share will be sanitized. Thanks.
This is Mikey again. One of the things that we did in the DSSA working group, the DNS Security and Stability Advisory Working Group, is develop a little process to protect what is likely to be extremely sensitive information that's going to be coming into that working group as we get a little further into our work. And I might just circle back to that next time and give you a little briefing on how we're going to do it and see if that process might work for us here, too. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. In relation to the comment on seeing whether there's other data available, I think Barry pointed out to me in the separate email conversation that in one of the discussions, actually, I think the IPC mentioned that they have data as well. So I would be happy just to reach out to them, because if they already have something, you know, off the shelf that they have already, you know, have already done work on this, it might be helpful to take that as part of, you know, what the working group or the drafting will be looking at, even though it's not, you know, specifically within the task to reach out to the IPC. But if they have something ready and available, maybe that's worth looking at.
This is Mikey. That sounds great, and I stuck you down for doing that outreach.
Okay.
I think that would be very helpful. Maybe what we could do, if they've got it handy, is feed it into the front of our process. And so we could maybe put it up here. Oops, not that way. And then they can see it, and rather than being put on the spot, simply say, yes, we in fact see that too. And that might take some of the pressure off the sensitive information conversation, so that might be another way out of that. Let's go back to approach just a little bit and just see if we've got all the big bases covered in this list. If we sort of digested the recommendations just a little bit, see if there's any, I think this is out of order. I think what we want to do then is spend a little time, not a whole lot of time, framing a request and a series of questions for the registrars. I think sort of bounce back and forth informally, maybe with Gray, to just get a sense as to where the registrars feel about this. Then we'll come up with our little requests, work with the registrars to get information pulled together. It sounds like we've got a little bit of an analysis job here. So let me just shape up the... And then I think develop a little report where we've framed, you know, we tell them the questions, we get the answers back, we show them the analysis we did, and then develop some recommendations to proceed. Does that kind of cover our approach? Is there any giant thing missing that we can think of that this is this? If we were to back up, if we were to say that the target for the report to the council by Costa Rica, that's March, mid-March, right? It seems to me then that what we would have to do, have our questions framed maybe before the year. And the registrars, maybe give the registrars about a month. If we gave the registrars about a month to digest all that, is that a reasonable thing, given that this is not a PDP, so we don't have to go through all of the rigmarole with formal process within the registrar constituency? I'm sort of looking to James and Michele again on that. If we set a target by end of January to get that back, do you think that's realistic?
It's James speaking. Sorry, Michele's in with you.
That's all right. Why don't you finish up, James?
No. Just go on. You start so you can finish. A bit like Mac.
Yeah, I mean,
James, you started it.
Personally, yes. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, and then the holidays are, of course, going to take everybody offline.
Right.
You know, I think the more time, the better. I think if we can even give, you know, an extra week or two into early February, it would probably be good, but I don't know if that gives us enough time in the back end. I'll do everything I can to expedite, and what will happen is we'll probably go to the registrars, whether it's to Graham or the XCOM or whatever. We'll probably get approval to proceed, and then the folks who brought this, Michele and I, will be tasked with doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, so I'm just speaking of my own schedule here, and I'll let Michele speak to his.
Yeah. Michele, go ahead.
Hi. Sorry. I'm in a really silly mood today, and I just got sent a totally spurious threat of legal action by some idiot. How quickly we can turn the thing around depends on what we're being asked, realistically.
Not fair.
No, I mean, it depends. But if it's like, you know, two questions, do you think there's a problem with X, then it's kind of, you know, a binary answer, yes or no. If the question is very, very detailed or specific, then, you know, for some people it'll be easy to answer it, and for others it won't be. I mean, the entire problem, of course, as James has put it out, is that, you know, how on earth do you restrict the scummy practices of what is essentially one company? I'm not aware of any other companies that cause these bloody headaches, without putting a ridiculous restriction on the rest of us who aren't doing anything wrong most of the time, at least not intentionally. You know, how do you actually get that balance right? And that's the problem.
I don't think that's our job, though.
No, maybe not. But
I think our job is just to see if there is fire underneath the smoke. And so I think that the questions, unless I'm mistaken on this, I think the questions are basically, do you see this, yes or no, and preferably how many of them? And, you know, it may be that we can fold in some of the IPC data.
Yes, it's been, like, I'm looking beside my desk here. I could send you a photograph of a pile of these things.
Yeah. See, I think...
And we're a small registrar. I've got, like... Hold on a second. I've got three on my desk.
Yeah.
And that was without moving.
So I'm going to circle back to Marika for just a minute. And you've got your hand up, so you may be ahead of me on this. But, Marika, could you kind of clarify what you think these questions are?
This is Marika. So I think, indeed, the first one is on data, how many are you getting? But I think another question would be, where are you getting these from? Because I think part of what we're trying to assess, or what the Judicial Council at the end of the day needs to assess, is this an issue where I can potentially can develop policy in? So I think we've discussed it before. If all these fake renewal notices are only sent by parties that are not linked to ICANN in any shape or form, it might be, you know, we can develop a great policy on this issue, but it wouldn't be enforceable because we don't have a contract with those parties. So I think that's, you know, one of the data elements we will be looking for.
Okay. So I think that this could be, you know, this doesn't need to be exhaustive. This just needs to be enough to say, yes, a PDP, an exhaustive piece of work is required. Here is some anecdotal evidence. McKaylee's got three of them on his desk. James has got, you know, 5,000 of them in a pile in a warehouse. The IPC has seen a pile of them. Mikey's seen a few, blah, blah, blah. Ken, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm about ready to boot up into Acrobat. But the question becomes, are these being sent from a specific domicile? Are they coming from the U.S., Canada, China, someplace where we can deal with regulatory authorities if ICANN decides that there's no way they have the ability to reach out?
Well, McKaylee, I think we add that to our pile.
The answer, Ken, is yes.
What country are they coming from, McKaylee?
They come from Canada, the USA, and the UK. And 99% of any that I've ever come across all come from the same entity, which is a Canadian entity.
Well, it would seem to me that it may be worth it for those of us who may have contacts. I can't remember Tim's last name. He used to work for Two Cows. You know who I'm talking about? Remember Tim? Oh, God. Does somebody remember?
I don't remember a Tim.
Okay, there was a guy years ago who worked for Two Cows. He was their policy person. And he is now a deputy minister in the Canadian government in areas that control that. And with your permission, what I would do would be to possibly, Mikey, put you in contact with Tim and just to kick things around with him kind of offline to see whether he may have some ideas as to how this could be approached. Because if we acknowledge, first of all, that there are issues, and we acknowledge the possibility that ICANN may not have the scope, I'm sorry, the whole thing's gone to hell here, may not have the scope to do anything about it, then we're better off at least trying to figure out if we can do something, you know, if it makes sense. Tim Denton, Timothy Denton, Google him if you want him, Mikey.
D-E-N-T-E-N?
D-E-N-T-O-N. But I know he was just appointed by the Canadian government to either to manage an agency or something like this. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to tie the group's time up, but, I mean, we're trying to figure out, you know, it's not going to do us much to develop a solution that can't be managed by ICANN in one way or another. And if we can at least create some awareness, either going up through the GAC or even directly to something, I think it's any way of removing the irritation that people like James and McKaylee and so forth have to live with, dealing with these things, because I'm guessing it becomes incredibly people-intensive on these things. You can't just send out a form letter, I'm guessing. You get a lot of requests, and I'm guessing that GoDaddy's customer service must get swamped with these things if he's getting thousands of them. So it's costing him some serious personnel time. Am I right, James?
That's right. I think that, you know, our job as the drafting team isn't probably to reach that far down. But, you know, I think what we could do is document that as a resource.
Yeah.
And circle back to that. It might be good to have sort of an informal conversation with the guy and just sort of see. But I'm not thinking that our job is to actually create policy. Our job is just to decide whether to proceed with a PDP. And it would be good to try and make an assessment as to whether a PDP, you know, whether there is a policy that would actually address the problem. Because if it turns out there isn't one, then we could just report that. Marika, is that an old hand or a new one?
No, it's a new hand, but it's actually on a different issue. So I don't know if James's comment is related to the discussion we're having now. He should go first.
James?
I believe it is, but I'll let you be the judge. How's that? I think McKelly's right. Most of these are probably focused in the wild and woolly hinterlands of Canada, is where the domicile originates for some of these entities, or one of these entities, at least one of the major offenders. I think that one of the questions, and I don't even know if we want to open this can of worms, but I think it is at the heart of what we're talking about here, is the inconsistent manner with which registrars govern their resellers. I say this knowing that is a very very raw nerve in some discussion circles, but I'm holding this out as, you know, GoDaddy has a wholesale registrar, Wildless Domains, that we're affiliated with, and we are very aggressive about keeping these types of folks off of that reseller network. And they sneak on there sometimes. You know, they give us some, they call themselves something else, or they set up a new P.O. box or whatever, and they get on there. And then as soon as we find them, we shut them down, and it's just kind of this whack-a-mole type of game. But I think that there are a lot of folks out there, registrars, that are not quite so diligent about who is taking their accreditation out at night and running around town with it. And I think that also goes for the cross-TLD scam that we see McKelly's posted, and I think that Barry mentioned in RAP, introduced into that circle, which is becoming more and more of a problem, in my opinion. But it's so focused on country codes, I don't know if there's anything that can be done about it. But I think that, you know, if we were identifying questions, I would hold out to the group that if there is a way we can, in a non-controversial and constructive and non-alarmist way, discuss the fact that these folks are resellers of accredited registrars, and that those accredited registrars probably through no bad intentions of their own, but are just maybe a little asleep at the switch when these folks come and jump on their network, and what can be done about that. I think that might be a worthwhile discussion to have if we can do it in such a way that it doesn't turn into another one of these controversial black holes. So, thanks.
Thanks, James. I stapled it into our notes. Michaela, are you on this same topic, or can I go to Marika yet?
I'm on the same topic.
Go for it.
Just with relation to the cross TLD scam. This is one I think that was, it may have come up in the RAP, but it's also come up in the CCNSO as well. I think it's one of those things where it may not, well, obviously wouldn't fall into kind of ICANN compliance, ICANN contract, ICANN policy, but ICANN is probably one of the only organizations where you have a lot of CCTLD people, you have a lot of registrars. So, I mean, ICANN would be, as a kind of a structure, might be a good place to facilitate some kind of, let's just, for lack of anything else, let's just call it a discussion. Even if it's just a case of, you know, a people kind of meeting and having a cup of coffee and going, hey, what are you seeing with this? I mean, the cross TLD thing, we see quite a lot of it. I'm sure James's people see a lot of it. The fake renewal thing, I pasted a link into the chat there. It's well worth spending an hour or two actually downloading all those PDFs from the CIRA website and having a look, because they've managed to get a lot of the data on connecting all the various entities and people that are involved in the Brandon Gray thing, which is the one which is often known as Domain Registry of America or Domain Registry of Canada or Domain Registry of insert country here, who would be the main culprit. Thanks.
Well, maybe an extract of that be a good thing to staple into our report. That might give us some meat to our data bones, even if we didn't collect it from within. James, are you still on this topic, or can I go to poor old Marika? Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, my hand should be lowered. I stepped away from the keyboard for just a second. I'll get back to that.
Okay. Stubbs, are you on this one, or back? Can I go to Marika?
Why don't you go to Marika, and then I'll come back. You can come back to me
okay.
If you want. I just was saying, I posted some information on Tim Denton. He's also on the board of ARIN, so he still has relationships with ICANN. So in some way or another, it may be a good idea to try to get in contact with him and see. He's very, very well-versed in domain policy and had worked with Elliot for many years. So it's not like you're going to have to kill yourself to bring him up to speed. And he may have some constructive suggestions. If you're uncomfortable doing it, I'll call him, but I think it would be better if you did, that's all.
Well, I scraped all that stuff off. Now, Michaela's posted something cool in there. Oh, this is another background link, Michaela, the one on ASA.org.
Yeah, ASA.org.uk is the Advertising Standards Authority for the UK. I mean, I'm sure you have the same thing in the US and probably I presume you have it in the Netherlands and in Russia. I mean, it's a recognized body that, you know, as it kind of acts as a watchdog for, you know, advertising, really. We have one in Ireland, which would be a similar name, and this is from 2 years ago when three complaints against Domain Registry of America were upheld. I'd bring your attention to it because if you actually go through it and have a look and see on what grounds they were able to uphold the complaint, it's interesting because it's the misleading aspect of the advertising that's the problem, not the advertising itself. So the idea being that, I mean, this is the thing that needs to be we have to be very, very careful with, which James mentioned, is that you don't want to end up in a situation that coming out the far end of this, that you have people kind of saying, oh, registrars can't advertise. But that's not what this is about. It's about a registrant, an end user of medium intelligence being able to understand what is being advertised to them. Right. So, for example, if I'm, as a customer of GoDaddy, receive emails from GoDaddy with them trying to sell me products, well, that's fine. You know, they're trying to sell me something. They're not trying to give me something that they couldn't actually give me access to. They're not trying to mislead me, is what I'm saying.
Can I ask McKaylee a question, Mike?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, McKaylee, you're quite familiar with privacy laws in the UK, I'm sure. I mean, in the EU. Is a solicitation of this nature a violation of some sort of privacy law? I mean, we have...
It would be. This is where it starts getting interesting. Like, the thing is, how do they, you know, direct mail to private citizens, you know, there is a certain amount of legislation in that area, and it varies from country to country.
That's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking that I know Canada has very strict laws, privacy laws, and I'm guessing that Ireland and probably a lot of EU countries have pretty strict privacy laws. It may be easier at some point in time. Because I have a strong
The problem you see is that, for example, if I register a domain name, am I registering that as a private individual or as somebody who is a professional, in inverted commas?
So, yeah. Boys, I'm going to slow us down here because we're about 5 minutes from the end.
Sorry.
I captured a lot of this.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think, kind of something that we can go into maybe further down the line, but for the purposes of this conversation, it's a good question. Is there a privacy issue?
Yeah, and I've got that captured. I'm now going to go to long-waiting patient Marika.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Marika. Actually, on the issue of the cross TLD registration scan, I just want to flag warn the group that this might actually be an issue that will be added to the list of items that you'll be looking at, because it's an issue indeed, as McKenna says. It was initially discussed by the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group as based on their recommendation. It was then also discussed with the CCNSO, and as there seem to be some commonalities between the fake renewal notices, the Council has now been discussing what to do with that issue. Is there a need to do further research? Should we just leave it as is and wait until further data becomes available? And one of the suggestions I've made is maybe to see whether it would make sense to add it to this working group as we're looking at gathering further information and data. So I think the Council is expected or supposed to discuss it again at its meeting next week. So possibly after that it will become clear whether there's a specific item that will be added to the group's tasks.
Thanks, Marika. I'm going to take a second here to sort of wrap up. Ken, is your hand up as a new one or an old one? Hoping it's an old one because we're running out of time. Let me kind of summarize where I think we're at on our approach. I think if we can get this series of questions framed up by the end of the year and get back some information from the registrars and elsewhere by early February, that we would at least have a pretty good outline of a report. I don't know that we'll have a final report that's all sentences and paragraphs, but it seems like we could come back to the Costa Rica meeting with a pretty good sketch of what we've got and where we're headed and get a course correction from the Council. So that's sort of my take on this one. And it doesn't seem like it's going to take a whole lot of work. There's clearly a ton of information out there. We've already flushed out, you know, all this background information. I've put all those links that people came up with. I'm sure there's more. There's probably some summarizing to be done. Marika, Barry, sense from you guys is the, you know, if we tasked you to sort of go off and pull a summary of all that stuff together with sort of the highlights, could you have that ready for us in a week? Just super sketchy outlining kind of stuff?
This is Marika. You mean of the three documents that are listed there, just a summary of the background information, correct?
Well, yeah, but then I also snuck in the one at the top there, this one. Whoops, clicked on it and opened it up. This one from McKaylee, actually these two from McKaylee, where, you know, their actual summaries of the situation.
Okay. I can have a look at that, and yes, that should be possible.
You know, just a really sketchy outline summary I think would be really helpful for our meeting next time, just to see what's already done. You know, especially if there were numbers in either of those two. Oh, and then the IPC information. It would be also very helpful to get that back. I think that would be, if we could have, not all summarized, not all pretty, but just a sense of, you know, what we've already got. Because if we've already got quite a lot of information, maybe we don't need to go to the registrars for a whole lot and put them on the spot. We can just run with what's already there. That gets me to a logistical question. Is this meeting time going to work for folks if we just made this the standing time? Did we doodle this as a standing meeting or a one-time meeting?
This is Marika. We actually, I think, doodled it as a one-time meeting, but maybe with the intent of continuing. But just to note, because Paul Diaz actually responded, he has now a conflict at this time. He indicated that, you know, maybe Ken could be the registry rep, or alternatively, you know, the working group could consider another time if they would like to have him on. Well, one of the times he suggested that would work from him is the same time, but then on Thursdays.
I would prefer Thursdays as well, but also...
Let's do this. Let's meet this time next week, because we've got everybody pretty lined up for this, just to keep the ball rolling. And in the meantime, we'll do a doodle to see if we can move it to a better day after next week.
Mike?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Ken.
I'm concerned leaving it on Monday for a couple of reasons, just even in the next few weeks. Monday being Christmas and New Year's are both on weekends, so Mondays tend to go to hell after those two holidays.
Yeah.
So either we should push it away from that or just acknowledge that nobody's going to really have the enthusiasm level that we need to get much done during that time. And I think ICANN's offices are closed during those weeks anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, I'm pretty flexible on Thursday. I've got a DSSA meeting early in the morning, but other than that, I'm fine. So, Marika...
And the fields are covered with snow, aren't they, Mikey? So.
Yes, they are. If you want to see a picture, I'll show you a picture in a minute. We're coming up on 10 o'clock.
So, Mikey, I can work with you to see what times work for you, and then we can, you know, set up this doodle poll but then assume that for next week we still meet on Monday. And we can as well include the same time to see, you know, it might be that for everyone else this is the best time, but, you know, we can provide a number of options.
Well, and it's such a small group that we may be able to just scoot it out to the new time next week and get it all squared away. I don't want to have no meeting on the calendar next week just to keep things rolling along. But if it turns out that Thursday works for everybody. Just a quick poll on the call. If we did this at, not this hour, because this is coming right off of the DSSA meeting, but an hour later than this on Thursday?
Yeah, that wouldn't work for me. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we'll have a little
Thursdays. Did you say, Mikey?
Yeah, Thursday is what I was saying.
That should be okay for me.
Works for me.
Yeah, it's tough on Marika, though.
Yeah.
Marika, could we lean on Barry to be the lead staff on this one and let you kind of goof off a little bit?
I think Barry already has a really full plate, so maybe we can look at some other options and you know, if that doesn't work out, we can still see if someone else is available. But maybe for now, we can just have a doodle poll and provide as well some other options at that time. Would that work?
Yeah, that works. Barry, of course, has no talent. That's probably why he's stuck with such a full plate. Okay, it's
my,
1 minute.
One more thing. Yeah, I assume we're going to get copies of the chat and also a copy of any relevant item that was put up, like your notes that you've been going up.
Here's my routine with these, Ken, is that I'll post three forms of this screen that you're seeing. I'll post the actual file for those of you who actually use this program, but then I'll post a PDF and a web page version of it. And my habit is to just post it after each call so that the latest one is always available. And then, Marika, I think given the fact that we are beating the chat pretty hard on this one, we probably should go ahead and get in the habit of doing a chat transcript after each call along with the recording.
Okay.
If it's possible, this is Wizardry. Oh, but Natalie's on the call. Natalie knows how to do this. If it's possible to get the... I tell you what, I'm going to let all of the non... all of the constituent types drop off the call. I'm going to hang on with Natalie and Marika for just a minute and do some logistical stuff, if that's okay with you two.
All right. Thanks, Mikey.
See you, kids.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
Sava, you can please stop the recordings. Thank you.
Natalie, I had an idea that...